Life can be overwhelming at times, can it? If it wasn't for the presence of God in our lives, how would we make it? Welcome to another edition of the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. In today's study, which is part of a series on the names of God, we're going to explore who God is through what He's called in the Bible. As we delve into the names of God, understand that each name represents an aspect of God's character and/or conduct. In other words, what God is called relates directly to who God is. As Dr. Smith teaches his students at Bible Believers College and Seminary in Hawthorne, California, he wants to remind you that the character and dependability of God is revealed through His names. Let's step into the classroom and join Dr. Smith as he applies the names of God to our daily lives of faith.
Yahweh Shema. Would you turn, please, to Ezekiel chapter 48. I am your companion. I am there with you. I'm there with you. This is the only time it's used in the entire Bible. It's right here. Okay. When you're looking at this chapter, I want you to back up from, I gave you Ezekiel 48:35. Just slowly back up and tell me what in the world is being discussed in this chapter. What's being discussed or described in this chapter? What's it describing?
Is it the temple, building the temple?
It's in the future. It's the what we call the third temple. The future temple. The one's not been built yet. Okay? It's talking about that time when God is on earth. What does it say in 48:35? Dish? Ezekiel 48:35.
48:35. The distance all around will be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on will be, "The Lord is there."
This is the New Jerusalem. The Lord is there. I'm your companion. I'm there with you. Now, we don't have that city yet, do we? But we know about it in Revelation, don't we? Mm-hmm. There's no sun or moon. Because the Lord is in the middle of the city and He is the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "Do not hide your light under a bushel." So you, having the Holy Spirit, have the light. What was over the tabernacle?
God's cloud, God's presence.
But what was it?
Cloud.
And a
pillar
of fire. Remember, long answers are more descriptive. Nothing is dynamic until it is specific. Okay. What we're saying here is, I love you enough to live with you. Have you ever thought about that? Now here he's saying, I love you enough to live with you for all eternity. To be your God. Forever. In a personal relationship. Going to live in the same town. Forever. You say, well, I got the Holy Spirit. He's leaving, folks. When you die, He's gone. Why? So when you die, what happens? Soul goes back to heaven. So, what happens next? Absent from the body?
Present with the Lord.
So, He's decided that He wants to live with you? Forever? You got to be joking me. See, once you get that in your soul, I don't need anybody to tell me I'm married. Because I already got assurance of salvation. He'd been talking to me all the time. So we're talking about these names of Yahweh. And again, I want to remind you that as you're looking at them, everyone has a context. So you can't make the name say what you want it to say. It comes out of a context. Sometimes God Himself creates the context. Most of the time, the name comes from the heart of the person. And so the whole idea here is that you start getting an idea that there are names of God that God names Himself. You use those. But then you ought to come up with your own names of God. And those your own names of God come out of what you learn in battle, not what you learn in a book. And so you and I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to do the word and not be hearers only, self-deluding. So, now we're going to talk about Yahweh Shalom. And when we're talking about Yahweh Shalom, we're talking about God is my peace. God is my peace. Now, here's probably the distinctifier. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. However, you will note that many proclaimers or professors of the faith have no peace at all in the midst. You need peace not when things are peaceful. You need peace when things are chaotic. You need peace in the midst of the storm, not peace in the midst of the peace. Now, if God is my peace, God is my peace, it's only used this one time. This is it. And so I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6, verse 24, and Gideon uses it. Gideon uses it. Now, when it's only used one time, and it's used by someone, that tells us something. You can have a name for God that nobody else has for God because of a situation you were in, and that's okay. Now, your name for God should line up with His character along the way in the rest of the book. You notice how I said this is the God of peace, and then I could link it to other places in the New Testament and Old Testament that talk about peace. So Gideon here is in the midst of having the angel of the Lord come to him. And it's hilarious because this is one of my favorite short chunks of the Bible. Angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. "Hello, mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "If I'm a mighty man of valor, why am I down here in this hole, winnowing this grain, scared to death of all of the enemies?" I love it. If you can't be honest with God, you haven't got the right God yet. God can take it. And so he explains to him, and pretty soon Gideon gets it that he's actually talking with God. And then he says this, verse 21, "Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' And then the Lord said to him, 'Shalom, do not fear. You shall not die.'" So, verse 24, Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. And so we find here that Gideon, at his call, at the call of Gideon, upon being assured he wouldn't die, called this God my peace. Judges 6, 21 to 24. Now you need to think about this for a minute. This isn't God. This is the encounter with God. This is face to face with the Lord. And he's saying this is peace. He's created peace between us. You're not going to die. Peace between us. You're not going to die. In other words, I love you enough. I love you enough to welcome you into my presence, creating peace between us despite your fears or failings. Now, you ought to have this name. You ought to have this name for God. He needs to be your peace. Peace I give to you. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. God welcomes you into His presence. God loves you. Now listen, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. And if you've got a God that doesn't have any holiness and justice and can't stand the stench of sin, you don't have the whole God. Gideon got this. Who am I? I'm a nobody and I'm a sinner. Remember Peter? "Lord, get away from me." That's the right attitude to have. And then God comes and counters and saying, "Yeah, that's true. But come, be with me. You won't die. God loves you. There is no reason God should love you that much. There's no reason he should have sent Jesus to be your mediator. There's no reason that he should have been the propitiation. There's no reason except what? God loves his children, lost or found. He loves them. He loves you. If you don't every once in a while just say to God, I don't get it why you love me, you haven't gotten a real good picture of yourself yet. I often do this. Why would God want me? If you think you're so good God needs you, there's a place for you too. So the little men in the truck will come and they'll have the straitjacket that they'll put your hands in and they'll tie it behind you so you can't hurt anybody, including yourself. Okay? Listen, he's my peace. He makes peace for me. This is what Paul talks about, right? When he talks about you and I are workers together to share the glorious news. We are ambassadors of God, pleading on his behalf. Be reconciled to God, he says in Corinthians. That's our job. Well, why would we even have that job? Because he is our peace. He is our peace. One more. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yahweh Tzidkenu. And this is, I am your righteousness. I am your righteousness. Now again, I want you to grasp hold of this. This only occurs two times in the whole Bible. Only occurs twice. Now we depend on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we're doomed. But it only occurs twice. Remember that these are names, all of these flow out of Yahweh. And for the most part, they're what somebody else says about God. For the most part, they're their testimony. Occasionally, it's God's testimony about himself. But when you create a hyphenated, a compound name for God, that's your testimony. That's the name you give God. That's from a real situation, in a real battle, where God was greater than whatever your problems were. That's what this is about. And so when we look at Yahweh Tzidkenu, we're taking a look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And in this passage we're talking about, Yahweh is talking about the branch of righteousness. So Yahweh is speaking, and this is his testimony. Yahweh is speaking. And he's speaking, when we talk about this branch, he's speaking, it's a branch out of the family of David. And he's speaking of the messianic rule of Jesus. So who's he talking about? It's talking about Jesus, right? Okay. And here we have this messianic rule of Jesus over Judah, Israel, and the world. Or in Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. Althea, would you read for us, please, Jeremiah 23, 1 through 4, and then I'll have you in a minute read 5 and 6. 1 through 4.
Woe to the shepherds, the civil leaders, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds, who care for and feed my people, who have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited and attended to them. Behold, I will visit and attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries to which I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds and pastures, and they will be fruitful and multiply. And I will set up shepherds over them, will feed them, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither will any be missing or lost, says the Lord.
Now, I want you to get the context, because a lot of preachers use this, a lot of teachers use this passage about preachers. But you accurately had it there when you said in that first verse, civil leaders. We're talking about kings and leaders of government in Israel. God pays attention to what our leaders do, our governmental leaders do, especially when it was Israel. And so he's prophesying. The Lord himself is prophesying, preaching, teaching the future. And he's saying, I've had enough of these leaders who don't care for the sheep. They're in office for themselves. Sound familiar? Politics never changes. Okay? And so I'm going to send a leader and some administration under him, and there's going to be a change. But before I do that, what's going to happen first? Verse 3. What's going to happen first? Okay, now, anybody know their history? Anybody know recent history? Last century?
Yes.
There was no nation of Israel from 586 BC until 1948. Do the math. Almost 2,000 years. And then God created the nation of Israel. And where have the citizens of Israel come from?
Countries where God had driven them.
He pulled them back from the countries where God had driven them himself. Driven them when? 722, 536, and spread them out. Brought them back. And he's been bringing them back since 1948. And now there's a new plague on the planet called Islam. And who's not afraid of it? Israel. There are three countries fighting ISIS right now. Two of them are recognized by the world. And the third one is Israel. But you don't hear about Israel's success, which is fine with Israel. They don't mind. But what does it say in verse 4? Verse 3 said that he would gather them back.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say in 4?
And I will set up.
And they will fear no more. Did you know that one of the chants, one of the mantras, one of the mottos in Israel is never again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Never again. Yes. They are not afraid. If you have not watched the video testimony of the Six-Day War on YouTube by the generals from Israel who were on the battlefield, outnumbered and ready to die, and a rabbi began to pray in one of the tanks. He was a tank commander and he began to pray the Shema Israel. I get goosebumps thinking about it. His testimony. The tanks, the Russian tanks that were coming at them, they were all deployed from Syria. Syria had the Russian tanks, much better than the armor that Israel had. The tanks began to explode on the battlefield and nobody was firing against them. And they began to shout in the tanks. And they began to talk about, what's that name that they don't use? That they use so they don't use the wrong name?
Hashem
is fighting for us. And tank after tank after tank was being blown up. Spread throughout like a wildfire. And Israel rallied that day. Because that was the day they almost died in the wilderness of Israel. Amazing story. You've got to get this. I'm your righteousness. We're not afraid anymore. We're not afraid. And so because they're not afraid anymore, what does it say? They're not afraid anymore. Neither will they be
missing,
lost, says the Lord. What, that missing and lost has to do with taking into captivity. Now listen, you're reading today's headlines. You're reading today's headlines right here in the Word of God. Because the next thing that comes is what? Keep reading Althea 5. Just read 5. This gets too excited. I can't do all of it at once.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a sprout, and he will reign as king and do wisely and will execute justice and righteousness in the land.
Now, y'all read, and you just lump everything together. You just cram it all together like a sandwich. Okay? You got your bread, your cheese, your tomatoes, your onion. You got it all. You just cram it all together. It's a sandwich. No, this is a prophetic passage. Take the parts apart slowly. How did this start? The days are coming. Well, it was coming when? Back then. But it was coming. The days are coming when? We're not afraid anymore. Stay in context. We're not afraid anymore. We're getting leaders now. that aren't running Israel into the ground. The days are coming now. Now, 2015, the days are coming. What's next?
When I will raise up to David a righteous branch.
There's a righteous branch. David's throne. Don't get confused with Gentile junk. Don't do that right now. Stay Jewish, okay? David's branch. What do we got right now in Israel? What's running Israel? A parliament called the Knesset. I'm going to raise up. What's the next thing coming? A king. I'm going to raise up a righteous branch out of David's lines. The next thing's coming. Now, we know who that is. And by the way, if you ain't excited right now, you're going to hell. Okay, that's all there is to it. Or you don't understand what's coming. Listen, stay with me. If you don't get to the end of six and get excited, I can't guarantee your eternal life. Okay, keep reading. What's the next part? Listen.
Execute justice.
He will execute justice and
righteousness in the land.
In the land. So there's going to be a king sitting on the throne. They're going to go from parliamentary back to king. That's going to be a transition government. Pay attention. And who's going to be the candidate? Verse 6.
In his day, Judah shall be saved.
Oh, wait a minute, Judah. Now you've been writing a timeline. Judah is very important. Forget the New Testament. Forget your Gentiles. Stay with me. What? Judah what? What's Judah? Yeah. But what's Judah? Stay in your Old Testament now. The southern kingdom will be saved. Why not the northern? Because they're gone. And what's in its place? Trail mix. Want to know who? Write fast. This is what's left of the northern kingdom. Well, this is what's in the northern kingdom. The text is 2 Kings 17:24. 2 Kings 17:24. This is what's in Samaria now. People from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, A-V-V-A, Hamath, H-A-M-A-T-H, and my favorite, Sepharvaim, S-E-P-H-A-R-V-A-I-M. If you didn't get those, just get 2 Kings 17:24. Want to know why this whole area was under? Remember when we said people weren't interested in me and Jesus came and led somebody to Christ out of it? But he said, you don't know what you worship? Because the Samaritans, and you can just in the same passage there, 2 Kings 17, you can look this up. Those Gentiles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different kinds of trail mix, brought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different gods. Listen to them. Babylon brought Succoth Bemoth. Cutha brought Nergal. Hamath brought Ashimah. The Avites brought Nibhaz and Tartuk, and Sepharvaim brought Adrimelech and Anamelech. That's, forget everything you know about Christianity. Forget it. The righteousness that Jesus brings has to make Jews right. And the only place you can do that in Israel is Judah. Guess, can I encourage you just to go on Google and to get yourself a map of present-day Israel and just print it out and notice what part of Israel belongs to Israel and what part does not. It's under Arab control. And then go back and look at Samaria. Okay, we're in verse 6.
In his day, Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely.
And they'll be safe. Well, of course they'll be safe. Why? Why? Why will they be safe? Because who's the king? We don't need a laser shield. By the way, Israel's building a laser shield right now. They're very close to having a laser shield. As soon as they build a laser shield, you can fire anything you want to at it. It's gone. Okay? We don't need a laser shield. They call it the Iron Dome right now. They have all these missiles. And they call it the Iron Dome. Okay? They're waiting for the electronic dome. Then they're going to have what kind of dome? The internal dome. Don't you be firing no rockets at us. That whole country, you're dead. Okay? Of course they're going to dwell in safety. Then what happens?
And this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Now, you put righteousness into a New Testament context, and you're always thinking about sin and all that. That's not what we're doing here. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the one who makes things right. What? What's he got to make right? The rule and the reign of God in Israel. This is the beginning. And then he takes over the northern. And then there's that great battle. Because, do you remember where this all started? Because he's Elohim, Genesis 1, who spoke and everything was. Do you remember when we were talking about he's Yahweh Rapha? And I just wanted to remind you that the opposite is true. Not only can he heal any dis-ease in your physical body because he's life, he can take it away. And he becomes the protector of Israel. And then he rules the entire world with an iron fist. Some of you like the kissy Jesus. This isn't him. This is not. The kissy Jesus is about done. The kissy Jesus is about done. And when he comes back, he's not the kissy Jesus anymore. I've read Revelation. Have you read Revelation? Two-thirds of the planet dies under his judgments. Wow. But notice, for his people, I'm the one who sets things right for him. Why always the Jews? Did anybody see my post about Berlin? Here we go again. The German Supreme Court just ruled that it's fine. It's fine. It's perfectly fine to use Nazi accusations against the Jews. Free speech. Perfectly fine. Here we go again. The EU needs an air force to invade Israel. They have to have an air force. There's only one air force ever been on the planet that's been supreme. The Luftwaffe. We beat them because we threw too many planes at them. If they would have waited a little while, where did we get all those planes from? All those ideas? The jet? Who invented it? Who perfected it? We did. After the war, the Germans had working models. The Germans had, they were like this far away from an ICBM that could have taken out New York and Washington, D.C. We would have sued for peace. But people were afraid of Adolf if he would have waited 5 more years instead of the Blitzkrieg of 39. It's always been Germany. It's always been the Hun. They're the ones who always push the EU. What's going to become the ten toes of Daniel? It's always been the Hun. It's always been conquering. But one day, there's going to be a Jewish stonemason who's just going to say, I have had enough of you. And with the breath of his mouth, does that sound like Genesis? With the breath of his mouth, he will take out all of his enemies. Because a sharp sword comes from his mouth. That's a picture. Because what else is called a sharp sword? The Word of God. So, the words of Jesus are the sharp sword, and they just accomplish what they are. Now listen, Yahweh said, Kenu, I love you enough to send my son, but my son is your king. Remember what they said? You're no friend of Caesar's if you let him go. Why? Because his followers say he's a king. I can't have that. Okay? Can't have that. And so we have, what's the purpose of a king? It's to rule. To rule. To reign. And are you ready for this? And make things right for you before me for all eternity. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all in the Old Testament. It's all in the Old Testament. Your God, your God who is number one amongst all the gods, El Elyon, creator of the universe, also is the one who loves you so much that he wants to welcome you into his presence. He wants his lost children home, and he wants his broken relationship with his saved children brought back. See, technically, the line's a little fuzzy. He just sees it as out of fellowship and in fellowship. we made it a great theological issue, but the Father just wants His children in a right relationship with Him. We can get into all the theology later, but it would be a lot easier just to boil it back down to where it belongs. Adam, where are you? I love you. Now, all the other aspects of God are in control. All are in play. The righteousness, the justice, it's all in play. But Yahweh is driven by His character to keep His promises. And His promises are, come home, you're my child. No, you can't come home without coming through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the King that makes things right. It's the King who is my shepherd. It's relationship. It's the King who wants to be with us. It's the substitutionary blood that makes things right. Don't compartmentalize too much. Grasp the enormity. Your God loves you despite what you are or did or do. But I want to be honest. Time is running out. This clock is very close to ticking the last seconds for us. Don't believe me? How many more years do you think you get to live? And your clock will be over whether Jesus comes back or not. These are your last days. My burden for you tonight is that you walk with Him. I don't mean that superficial stuff you came in with when you first came into this class. But I mean get down to it and get serious about it. He's gotten serious for you. It's time for you to get past the book learning and past the mimicking what the preacher says. It's time for you to get some battle-learned truths. Few people don't like me, Yasmin, because I've got a few battle-learned truths. They don't like it when I say those things. But I'm telling you, if you just stay out of debt, you'd enjoy days like I'm having right now. You just would. Yesterday I put a whole bunch of money in the bank. Today I went and withdrew it and put a whole bunch more money in the bank. You know, this thing about God providing, what was that name? God provides, what was that name?
Jireh.
Yeah, Yahweh Jireh, He provides. I never knew it was this crazy. I never knew it was this crazy. Your God, trust me, your God wants to be God, El Elyon, in your life. Number one, you got to quit selling Him short. Trust Him. He keeps His promises. Stop yanking for the silly ones and go for the good ones that are solid. Whenever He just says something in your devotions, hang on to it. Doesn't make any sense at all. It's irrelevant. Remember, He's invisible. It's okay. And trust Him. And watch. And see, if I could use the Bible words, see the salvation that He can bring. The rescue that He can bring. Let's pray. Father, first we just want to repent. We've sold You short so many times. We've said we know You love us, but we've questioned that. We've doubted that. Often because in our ignorance we thought one thing, but the Bible teaches something totally different. Forgive us for not knowing the Word yet. We're going to do better, Lord. Father, we just want to spend time with You. We just want to know You better, Lord. We want to be drawn to You every day and hear from Your heart what You have for us. And Father, we want to have some names for You. Not just these names, but some of them might be those names. But Father, we want some names ourselves that we can create. But we long for You to be our provider. And we're so grateful for the provision You have made through Jesus Christ, the substitutionary Lamb of God. Father, for without Him we would have died just like Abraham's son would have died. Without You, oh, we want to follow You and obey You totally, because You are so good to supply, to provide. And Lord, some of us are struggling tonight with the idea that You set us apart, and we know that You set us apart for our good, but we don't know that in our hearts yet. We know that in our heads, And we struggle with the fact that you won't let us do certain things, and you want us to do other things. But we have our own agendas and our own desires. And Father, right now we just repent. We ask you to forgive us for our selfishness and our self-centeredness. And we realize afresh from this study that we could not live a day without you. Lord, thank you for loving us enough to set us apart from all that brings death and destruction for us and for our family, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you are the one who defeats our enemies, and that we need to proclaim your name, that we need to work together to spread your fame, and we need to be transparent with one another, and we need to stop being individuals and start being a body again. Father, we need to just thank you for being the flag under which we fly our lives. We're not Democrat, Republican, American. We're not any of those things. We are yours, and you're our banner. And Father, we realize tonight that many times we are suffering because physically, because we eat badly. And we want you to be graceful to us and give us health even when we choose to do what we know is going to bring problems. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for the thinking that says, I want to eat all the ice cream I want to eat without any problems at all with weight or health. Lord, help us to realize that you are the God who heals us. But the healing is preemptive. It is prescriptive. And it sounds a lot more like our nutritionist and our heart doctor. Father, help us to realize that if we want to live with maximum effort to glorify you in our body, which is yours, we're going to have to make some changes and be wise in our diet. And Lord, some of us tonight are struggling here because we haven't been allowing you to lead us. You bring life. You always lead us to the best places. You always bring us to times of rest. And you want to renovate and rebuild our souls. But sometimes, Lord, we are just too stubborn. And some amongst us tonight need to confess that they had a better dream than yours in mind when they came to Christ. And they've been nurturing that dream instead of yours. And Father, tonight, hear their prayer as they repent and say, you are my shepherd. I do know you want to give me life. And in these areas that you've been talking to me about, I need to surrender and just obey. Father, help each one. Lord, some of us have forgotten that you are the God of the angel armies. And as the angels surround you in this vast array in heaven, that we just need to trust that your power is greater than anything else on the planet. And that in your time, those armies remind us that there's a battle raging. And you're not on our schedule. You're on your schedule. Give us patience while we wait for you to answer our prayer in your time to accomplish your goodness and your glory. Lord, help us. Even if it takes years, help us. And Father, so many times we're like Gideon. Our lives are a mess and we've been overrun by the enemy. And we are just about at the end of our rope. And yet, you call us into your presence. We know, some of us know much better than others how deep we've failed you. We wonder why you would ever want to use us at all. And yet, Father, we see you come to us. We fear you coming to us. And yet you say, it's okay. And we realize that for a long time, you've been at peace with us when we thought you were mad at us. And we didn't trust that you really did care to bring us home, or we would have come back a long time ago. So we ask right now, just welcome us back into your presence with peace. Father God, help us to truly trust that you want us home, that you want to work in us, and you want to work through us. Lord, It is almost unfathomable that you would want to dwell in us. And we know through the Holy Spirit you're doing that right now. And we, in the words of the old song, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners condemned unclean. All we can say tonight, Lord, is, oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous. Your love is way beyond words, Lord. And we're so grateful for you tonight. We ask you to help us never, ever recover from the reality that you are with us. You are there where we are. And Father, thank you. You're going to make everything right. Paul said that for those who troubled us, you would trouble them. We know that the lake of fire exists so that you can bring justice and right the wrongs that have been done to you and to your body, both the body in Israel and the body, the church. Lord, we want you to rule and reign over our hearts, first of all. Lord, we give you everything. We simply bow before you. We say, not my will, but yours be done. You must increase. We must decrease. Lord, you love us. You keep your promises. You give us life. You lead us to life. You protect life. And you long to spend forever with us because you are life. Glorify yourself tonight. Glorify yourself in our lives. May this study bring everlasting change. For it's in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yeshua, our Amashiach, we pray all of this, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.
Would you like to help spread this word by sharing this message? Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith, so thank you for your consideration. What are you reading this summer? If you would like to see the power of God work in real-life difficulties, we suggest you read Hope Enabler, written by Dr. Smith's wife, Melody, this summer. Hope Enabler is the real-life story of one Christian parent's struggle with a runaway child and the hope that God enabled her to have during the darkest moments of that struggle. Through God's Word and her own personal testimony, Melody Smith shows how her relationship with God was strengthened despite the perils she faced. Melody Joy Smith is a pastor's wife ministering in Southern California. Alongside her husband, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, she's counseled families, spoke at conferences, and trained Christian leaders. She hopes this book can be a comfort to other Christians who are struggling with seemingly impossible situations. You can order your copy today. Simply click the link on the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in Hawthorne, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, reminding you that we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.